I want to talk this morning for a few minutes here about patience. I'm sure we all have a lot of patience. And so the thing that brought that to mind was we were studying about Israel escaping from Egypt in the Wednesday night class. And they got close to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh changed his mind. He decided he was going after them and bring them back to Egypt, that he had lost a lot of manpower by letting the children of Israel go. Now they have the Red Sea in front of them, and they have Pharaoh and his army coming after them. So I'm sure we can all look at that picture and feel just like they did, that things were pretty hopeless. Things were a very bad situation. What did they do? They cried to God. And not only did he save them, he assured them they would see the Egyptians no more. They would not see these people anymore. But here they are bearing down on them, the Red Sea in front of these people. I'm sure they were still thinking about the situation. But this is quite a miracle that God showed to them as well as us. And I think it's an awesome lesson for us to realize that no matter how bad the situation is, if we have God in our life, we have that hope. One of the most difficult things for people of our today to learn is how to be patient. Most of us are extremely impatient. We don't want to wait. We don't like it when things don't go our way. We expect smooth sailing, but God never promised us that life would be like that. In fact, it's often in these struggles of waiting for God to accomplish His purpose in our life that we learn from that situation. The most important thing we learn is what God wants us to learn from that situation. God has a lot to say to us about timing. He has a lot to say to us about patience. He has a lot to say to us about trusting when it doesn't seem like God is in control. I want to read Ezekiel 3, 1 through 11. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rent and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God has given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. There's a passage that explains that God is very much in control. This familiar passage to a lot of us has been read and preached on a lot. But as with many familiar passages, we may easily miss what God is trying to say to us unless we examine it carefully. We need to pay attention to what God is trying to say to us. The King James Version here says, to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under the sun. Life is filled with variety of experiences. Sometimes good things happen, sometimes bad things happen. Sometimes we'll make right choices, sometimes we'll make wrong choices. Sometimes we'll make the wrong ones, and that's the way God created us. Why does He allow bad things to happen? That's been asked a lot of times. Those are the times when we basically have to stop and ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me in this situation? What is God's purpose in making me wait in this situation? We're told that there's a time for everything in the scriptures I just read. Time for joy, time for sadness, time for celebration, time for mourning, time for contemplating, time for action, a time for silence, time for speaking. But in the variety of the situations, let's learn to ask ourselves, what is God's ultimate purpose for me in this? Romans 8:28 says, we know that in everything God works for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. This verse ought to continue to give us much encouragement. We can have the confidence to know that no matter what kind of a predicament we find ourselves in, God is at work. Ecclesiastes 3:11 tells us He has made everything beautiful in His time. What this ought to teach us is that everything that happened to us can have a beautiful ending if we only allow God the time He needs to accomplish His purpose in our lives. We need to learn to pray. Lord, please show me every day as You're teaching me Your way that You do just as You say in Your time. God will accomplish His purpose in our life if we don't shortchange Him. We need to learn to ask God, what is Your purpose in this for me? Even in those times, God's purposes seem unclear at times. We need to trust God. We have to willingly place ourselves into the hands saying, God, I don't see how You are working in this situation, but You have promised me in Your word that You will make all things beautiful in Your time. We need to learn to trust God more. Read Mark 10:46-52. And they came to Jericho, and as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timotheus, sat by the highway begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What is He saying here to us when He healed this blind man? Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus said, "Master, let me receive my sight." And well, how did Jesus respond? "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he did receive his sight. This is the way we would like for all of our prayers to be answered, isn't it? This is the kind of timing we wish that God used all the time. But the reality is, this is not the way our prayers get answered. Some of them take time. And it takes, when God gives us an answer, it's usually a process. It usually takes time before we see how things are going to work out, whether God grants that prayer or doesn't. But we must realize that the way God answers it is the way that He desires for it to turn out. This can be frustrating. We in this society are so used to microwave ovens, instant cash machines, and that makes us think that our prayers ought to result in a quick and instant solution to our predicament. What we need to remember is God's primary reason for responding to our prayers is not simply to relieve our pain, but to accomplish His purpose in our life. God has lessons that He wants us to learn. If He's always instantly bailing us out of every problem we end up in, we would never learn the lessons that God would want us to learn. When God does answer our prayers in the way that we ask Him to, we should rejoice greatly. I think sometimes when we get our prayer granted, we go ahead and walk off in our life and forget all about thanking God for making that situation for the better. When He doesn't immediately answer our prayers in the way we would want Him to, we need to stop and ask the question, why? Is there some lesson God wants me to learn during this waiting process? Jesus knew we would struggle with this. I want to read Luke 18, 1 through 8. And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray and not to faint, saying, "There was in a city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversity. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continued coming she will weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Why was it necessary for Jesus to tell this parable? Because He knows us as individuals. He knows mankind. He knows how easy we can become discouraged and to lose heart. This is especially true when we struggle with a particular situation for a long, long time without seeing much movement towards it being solved. How comforting it is to know that Jesus anticipated that we would struggle with our situations. When we do struggle with such a situation, we need to remember this example of the widow who refused to give up, but kept on keeping on. We ought to take encouragement from this parable and do the same thing this widow did. That's difficult, isn't it? We've become a society that hates to wait. Again, we want fast food. We want fast solutions to our problems. We want instant breakfast, instant credit, instant answers to our questions. We have developed ourselves in a way that we've developed microwave ovens to cook our food faster, fax machines to make communication faster, and a whole array of appliances to make our housekeeping faster. So many things in our life are designed to save time. When things take longer than we think they should, we can become frustrated and we become impatient. But the longer we live, the more we realize that there are many things in life that imply that simply cannot be rushed. If we don't learn how to wait and be patient, we will literally make ourselves sick. God wants us to teach the value of patience. And God wants to develop patience within us. God wants us to learn that there are many circumstances in life that simply take time if they're going to turn out the way that we want them to turn out. Ezekiel 3:1-11, God is teaching us how important this timetable is. He's trying to give us some encouragement here. God is trying to teach us about the importance of recognizing and waiting for His timing. There can be things that are right, but if they're done in the wrong timing, then they're not going to turn out well. Good things can turn out bad when they are done too soon or too late. Our tendency is to try to rush things, and we can easily expect too much too soon in far too many areas of our life. This can be true in our personal relationships, in a work business situation, recovering from a health problem, trying to help someone find peace of mind, or raising children, or any number of other situations. We're going to experience last satisfaction. We're going to have to trust God. Let God work that situation out in His timing, and then it will work out. If we try to work it out in our timing, then it's probably not going to work out the way God wants it to. Verse 11 there says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. The Living Bible puts it this way, everything is appropriate in its own time. The Good News Translation says, He has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future, but He never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what He does. And I think that's the thing that puzzles most of us, is we would like to know and think what's on God's mind, what is He thinking in this situation. This is a significant truth that we need to get a hold of. We would like to be able to see how everything in the future is going to work out, but again, God doesn't allow that. God never gives us a script with all the details for all the circumstances of life. We never know exactly what's going to happen, nor when it's going to happen. And this is frustrating to some of us, mostly to humans, because they don't have the control they would like to have. But it forces us to learn to trust. And what we think is absolutely the worst possible thing that ever happened to us turns out to lead us to something far better. The ending is no way turned out the way that we expected it to. God has made that awful situation turn into something good. And that's what God is good at, isn't it? This has always been God's way of doing things. This will always be God's way of doing things also. allow the thoughts here this morning to soak in to your heart and meditate on this verse. He has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what He does. Again, that's Ezekiel 3 and 11. God wants you and me to become more patient, but God does not leave us without example. In fact, God models all the good qualities that He wants to develop in us. God wants us to become compassionate. Therefore, He displays compassion. God wants us to become reliable. Therefore, He demonstrates His reliability. God wants us to reach out to others. Therefore, He reaches out to us. God wants us to be forgiving people. Therefore, He demonstrates His forgiveness. This list of qualities that God demonstrates as an example for us could go on and on, couldn't it? Many ways God shows us and gives us an example of what He wants from us, but we fail to see it sometimes, or we fail to do it like God has asked us to. Patience certainly is one of those qualities, since God wants us to become more patient. He also displays His patience to each of us. God has many ways of demonstrating His patience. Christ Jesus has displayed His unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on Him and receive eternal life. Throughout the New Testament, God has promised that Jesus will come again. Though we certainly know there are many people out there who do not believe this and say that Jesus is not coming back. He will never come back. Because God is so patient, some people think that they can take advantage of that. There are so many people that I have visited with since accepting Christ into my life that think all they have to worship is the Son. All they have to do is pray and worship God at home occasionally. It goes on and on, doesn't it? The list goes on and on and on, these people that do not believe. But because God is so patient, these people try to take advantage of that. But Paul warns us in the first part of Romans about the danger of thinking this way. We are not to take advantage of God's patience. Rather, we are to be motivated by His patience. And we need to become faithful. And we need to desire more patience with one another, which is another thing I think Christians need to have, a lot of patience with one another. Sometimes the simplest little thing disturbs us the most, doesn't it? Some little thing that we can't figure out. The delay in sending Jesus back to this earth is one example of God's patience. And most of us here this morning would believe that and say amen to that. He has given us all a chance to repent and get our lives lined up with His will. Let me read 2 Peter 3, 10 through 15. Peter 3, 10 through 15 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein. they shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without a spot and blameless. An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. This says, Jesus will come again, and he'll come as a thief in the night. He will return probably when most of us in the world least expect it. Therefore, we are told to always be ready. We need to accept his invitation this morning and be baptized. At the close of each service, we offer this invitation. Christ offers it this morning, that you become, accept him as God's Son and our Savior. Be baptized today while you still have the time. If we have other needs also that we need to take care of at this time, we invite you to come as we stand and sing the invitation song.